Links Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Five o'clock, Friday the 20th of March. Faster my good afternoon. Cheers to Chris Quirk for the past couple of hours. I'm Christian Jones and welcome along to Update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, a local pharmacy says it's seen a rise in people contacting it as the UK continues to manage a meningitis outbreak. A local construction firm is calling for an urgent safety review after an HGV incident on a southern route. And the fifth Teddy's Trundle is taking place this weekend. All those stories and more, as usual, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. But first, as always, let's get the latest headlines read by Amy Griffiths. Fast to my Amy.
Public Health Isle of Man says the risk to the island following a recent meningitis outbreak in the UK remains very low. Health officials there are dealing with what's being described as an unprecedented outbreak of meningitis B in Kent. Pharmacist Nick Kay from Kingsley Mooty explains what symptoms we should be looking out for.
High temperature, a fever, being sick, headache. And the one that we all sort of think about is the rash. It can rapidly escalate and reacting quickly is really important.
An investigation's underway following an incident at the sea terminal last night. Multiple emergency services were called to Circus Beach at around 6 o'clock until just after 9:30. No further details about the incident have been released. The managing director of a local construction company is calling on government to carry out an urgent safety review after an accident involving one of his wagons on the Tossaby Road at the Eyrie. The driver sustained injuries when his vehicle overturned in a verge while avoiding an oncoming truck. Derek Clarkson of CCJ Group says it's been the scene of numerous accidents involving large vehicles.
When you delve into that, you find out that there's been multiple accidents there before. And for me, that changes what could have been an unforeseen event to something that's foreseen. And there's a very big difference.
Douglas City Council's new flagship social housing project has been officially opened in Willesden. The James Brown Apartments complex is made up of 48 two-bedroomed units, and its first tenant, Paul Cowley, says his new home is fantastic.
Where I was living, eventually I was unfortunately having to sleep on the sofa in the living room. But coming here now, I've noticed even now, the 3 weeks I've been here, my health or my breathing has so improved.
Turning to international news now, and Donald Trump's launched another attack on NATO, labelling the alliance cowards. Writing on Truth Social, the American president says it's so easy for members to help reopen the Strait of Hormuz, but they don't want to get involved with a simple military manoeuvre. He adds the US will remember. A former Metropolitan Police Special Constable has been jailed for 24 years for a series of sexual offences. The crimes committed by James Bubb, who now identifies as a woman, included the rape of a child from the age of 12. A martial arts supremo turned actor, Chuck Norris, has died at the age of 86. In his final Facebook post last week, he told fans, "I don't age, I level up." Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Amy, thank you very much. Gurumayad, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Gloss and Glazing. Hazy sunshine this evening, clear spells overnight, temperatures 12 degrees at first, dropping to 4 overnight. Very similar tomorrow, sunny spells and light winds.
Manx Gloss and Glazing are now stocking Omnia flush sash frames. See the range at the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five. Health officials in the UK are managing an unprecedented and explosive outbreak of meningitis B in Kent. According to reports from the BBC and ITV, the situation has escalated rapidly since it was first detected earlier this month. 29 people are confirmed to have contracted the illness. Two young people have died, an 18-year-old student at the University of Kent and a year 13 pupil at Queen Elizabeth's Grammar School in Faversham. Well, Public Health Isle of Man says the risk here is very low, but naturally has caused concern, and that's something pharmacist Nick Kay from Kingsley Mooty has been describing to Alex Brindley on Man in Line this afternoon.
It's right to say that, you know, what's happened in Kent is an absolute tragedy, and that has actually caused lots of people to be concerned, especially people with, you know, children of near university age. And we've seen a real increase in questions about, you know, what are the signs and symptoms? You know, what is meningitis?
Now, this is an outbreak that's been identified as meningitis B. Now, how many different variations of meningitis are there?
Yeah, no, there are quite a few different types of meningitis, and meningitis is actually bacterial and viral. So it's a meningococcal disease. It's serious but uncommon. This one is caused by a bacteria, which actually can cause an inflammation of the lining of the brain, which is what causes some of the symptoms. And in the worst cases, then can actually go on to cause septicemia. The thing about it is that the onset can be quite sudden. So actually knowing some of the signs and symptoms and how to react quickly is really important. Like you say, there are different types of meningococcal bacteria. Meningitis A, B, C, W, X, and Y. So this is a B outbreak, but it is serious if it goes wrong.
And then what sort of symptoms there? You mentioned obviously people need to be looking out for, and you know, it can take hold quite quickly. What sort of symptoms would you advise people to be on the lookout for? Especially, I mean, I know we are quite a way away from Kent, but obviously generally in terms of meningitis, what should they look out for?
Yeah, no, and this is one of the things with meningitis, because some of the symptoms are quite common. They can be mixed up with other things, but the things that you'd be looking for really is sort of a high temperature, a fever, being sick, headache. And the one that we all sort of think about is the rash. So we always talk about meningitis of having that rash where if you depress it down with a glass or something clear, it doesn't disappear. It's not a blanching rash. It's not a whitening rash. It stays there. And also that isn't always the case that it develops, but it is a really important feature to look out for. Other things, bit of a stiff neck, a real dislike of bright lights, sometimes even drowsiness and seizure. But like I say, one of the things that's some of those symptoms, you know, they could be sometimes mistaken for cold, flu, or even a hangover in some cases. So, you know, the advice is really if yourself or a loved one does have any of those symptoms, then just keep an eye on them, because it can rapidly escalate, and reacting quickly is really important at that time.
Nick Kay from Kingsley Moody Pharmacy. A 56-year-old man has been given a suspended prison sentence after admitting drugs offences. Lewis Foster joins me with the details. Fastamai, Lewis, what can you tell us? What's happened here?
Fastamai, Christian. So Ivan Music appeared before the Court of General Jail Delivery earlier today, having pleaded guilty to possession of cannabis and possession with intent to supply. The court was told a suspicious parcel intercepted on the 5th of March last year contained 570 grams of cannabis worth more than £10,000. Police later searched his home and found a smaller amount along with a mobile phone, which turned out to be a key piece of evidence. Messages showed he'd been coordinating and taking orders to supply cannabis with 336 grams supplied worth £6,760. Deemster Graham Cook said a previous suspended sentence made this an aggravated breach, with prosecutors noting prior drug convictions dating back to 2023 when he was given another suspended prison sentence. So while he hadn't breached that sentence as the suspension had expired, it was close enough for the Deemster to factor it in.
Okay, and on the defence, were there any mitigating factors here?
The defence advocate said he was repaying a drug debt, but had shown evidence of rehabilitation, as he'd self-referred himself to the addiction charity Motivate and was the primary carer for his family. So the defence argued if he was given a custodial sentence, that could have detrimental implications on his family. The Deemster said 30 months in prison would have been appropriate, but instead imposed 12 months suspended for 18 months, telling him, "You are 56 years old and should know better," adding, "There must come a time when this has to stop."
Lewis, thank you very much.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, most drivers will recognise the challenge of meeting oncoming traffic on a narrow road, but when does it become too narrow to use safely? Well, a local construction firm is now calling for an urgent safety review of a route in the south of the island after an incident involving one of its vehicles. A driver for the CCJ Group overturned into a roadside verge on Tossaby Road at the Eyrie last Thursday while trying to avoid an oncoming lorry. The managing director of the firm, Derek Clarkson, has since submitted a report to the Department of Infrastructure and has been speaking to Simon Richardson.
The driver is now back at work, which is fantastic. I have to say, a very stressful event. You know, I can only imagine what it's like going through that situation. But we gave a lot of support and, yes, back at work and still a little bit bruised, but fitting well.
That's good news. And, of course, it could have been so much worse. You've been concerned about the roads in this area for some time. Do you believe, in some respects, this was an accident waiting to happen?
Well, really, I mean, obviously, when you turn up at an incident like that, there's lots of things go through your head. First of all, the safety of your driver. You look at the vehicle, you look at the surrounding conditions. There's lots of factors with a heavy goods vehicle, which are fitted with telematics in our vehicles in terms of, you know, measuring braking, measuring speed, etc. The weight that was in the wagon as well, in terms of payload. Was there any defects with the vehicle? Was there anything that happened with the driver? So there's lots of factors. And one of those factors principally was the road, the condition of the road and some of the issues that I had seen. And then when you delve into that and you meet various other professionals through the situation, you find out that there's been multiple accidents there before. And for me, that changes what could have been an unforeseen event to something that's foreseeable, and there's a very big difference.
And what are the issues as you see them with this particular area?
So there's been several accidents before there, and you'll see I've referred to them before. You know, there was recently a concrete wagon that was in the exact same spot off that was quite a serious incident and took the telegraph pole. We do know that there was a Gleister haulage vehicle many years ago in the same place. We know there was a JCK Limited wagon in that location in the same place, and unfortunately ourselves have suffered the same. There is a Manx Utilities pole on the corner of the bend, which is quite close to the corner of the road. That's on the bend, which causes the approaching driver of another vehicle to take a wider line. The centre line and the road is at its narrowest point at that bend. The other wagon coming the other way takes a evasive action, and then it hits a verge. The verge, there's no narrow road signs, there's no verge masters, there's no supported infill to the ditch, there's no soft verge signs. And the minute that vehicle has unfortunately had to travel slightly onto the grass, the tarmac edge falls away sharply. And at that point, the wagon has no ability to recover and get back onto the road.
That's the Managing Director Derek Clarkson for the CCJ Group. Well, we have approached the Department of Infrastructure for a comment, and it says as the incident is currently subject to a police investigation, it's not able to comment at this time. 12 minutes past five, it's hoped a new information centre based at Nobles Hospital will help improve the lives of those living with eye conditions and sight loss and their families. The integrated sight support and resource hub, based in the former Macmillan Room in the foyer, was officially opened this morning by Dr. Janet Gray. It'll see Manx Care work in conjunction with Sight Matters to support patients in a welcoming environment. Siobhan Fletcher sat down with the healthcare body's eye care liaison officer, Leslie Hangerton, to find out more.
What makes this hub so important is that it offers something we didn't have before, a dedicated, private and welcoming space. It allows us to display equipment like magnifiers, provide easy access to leaflets and booklets, and most importantly, offer a quiet place where people can talk openly and get the support they need. My role is to provide a person-centred service to people of all ages who are impacted by sight loss. That includes sharing eye health information, not just with patients, but also with their families, friends and carers, because sight loss affects more than just the individual. I also act as a key link between the hospital, Sight Matters and wider social and community services. That connection is vital to make sure people across the island are supported in a joined up and meaningful way. I'm incredibly grateful to the Sight Matters team for their support. They've helped provide equipment such as magnifiers and talking clocks, and they also run a low vision clinic that patients can be referred to for specialist assessments.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. Of course, the Old Castletown Road at the White Toe is one way for traffic heading into Douglas. Traffic heading away from Douglas will still need to go via Quarterbridge. That road is due to be fully reopened on Wednesday. Obviously, a gentle reminder that the temporary lights remain in place at the bottom of Quay Hill. Elsewhere in Braddon, temporary lights on Cool Road near the Business Park, also on Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge. In Peel, there are temporary lights at the top of Derby Road between the swimming pool and the Balaquane Road. And over in Castletown, temporary lights between Kingbills and the airport for water main works. Obviously, something we've been speaking about a lot in Douglas this evening, Lock Promenade will be closed between 7 and 8 o'clock for the Douglas Drone Show. There'll also be some parking restrictions in place, so if you want to find out more about that, then head on over to manxradio.com for more details. Down at the steam packet, all looking good there. Over at the airport, on the arrivals board, the 350 EasyJet from Manchester, that's delayed, not due to be in until 25 to 6. On the departures board, of course, the 430 EasyJet back to Manchester won't be leaving the island until at least 10 past 6 instead.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside, Quayside, 664417. Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate. Quayside! You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, this week marks Neurodiversity Celebration Week. It's a worldwide initiative designed to challenge stereotypes and misconceptions about neurological differences, and the Isle of Man will be marking it in its own way. Lewis Foster has this report.
In simple terms, the word neurodivergent is used to describe someone whose brain develops or works differently for some reason. This means the person has different strengths and struggles from people who would be described as neurotypical. You may be familiar with conditions such as autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and Tourette syndrome. Manx charity Autism in Man was set up in 1991 as a support group for families affected by autism. Carol Williams from the charity spent many years as a teacher working with neurodivergent children.
I think a lot of people are scared of the word autism because I think they think, yeah, I don't want to label and all of that. But without autistic people in the world, we wouldn't have engineers, we wouldn't have many doctors, we wouldn't have accountants, we wouldn't have people who build bridges, you know. So it's not something to be scared of, and I think that's what we need to get across to people is it's fantastic.
Well, to mark Neurodiversity Celebration Week, an event is being held at Kensington Arts in Douglas this weekend. Young people and their families are being invited down to the centre on Kensington Road tomorrow to try out a variety of different workshops and taster sessions exploring mediums from the visual arts to the performing arts. They say the day will offer a chance to explore creativity and self-expression in a fun and supportive environment. Emma Goodson is the venue's creative development coordinator.
Yeah, it's open to everyone, so this is a celebration of the diversity of the way us humans work and our brains work and the many ways that we can be creative. We're taking this opportunity to kind of highlight neurodiversity and neurodivergence. It's for everyone. We're just taking this opportunity to open the doors and make an event of it.
In the evening, there'll be a live panel discussion featuring, among others, Manx artist Jade Boylan.
The idea of the panel is that we're going to be sharing our own stories and a bit of insight about specifically creativity and neurodiversity. There's often a lot of misconceptions that neurodivergent people maybe aren't as creative, or maybe they're a little bit more rigid thinkers, or maybe, you know, there's that old misconception of everyone's really good at maths if you're autistic. That's not the case for everyone at all, and we've often found that actually neurodivergent minds can be more creative and produce some really incredible work.
Tomorrow's event gets underway at 11 o'clock. You can find out more details via kensingtonarts.im.
Lewis Foster there with that report. Now, the fifth Teddy's Trundle takes place this weekend. Islanders are set to take part in the annual charity walk from Peel to Douglas. The 21-kilometre event is organised by Charlie and Omi Ollie Dimlow in celebration of their four-year-old son, Teddy, who has Down syndrome. Since it began, the fundraiser has raised around £27,000 for charity. Well, Charlie's been telling Amy Griffiths more about the walk and about Teddy himself.
He is full of personality and cheekiness and is extremely determined. And really, he's just changed our perspective on what's really important and taught us a little bit more in the moment. Teddy's Trundle is a community walk and awareness event, and it was started soon after we got the diagnosis that Teddy had Down syndrome when he was 8 weeks old. And at that time, we'd experienced quite a negative, outdated, not very supportive atmosphere. And so we wanted to change that for other families. We wanted to help raise money for charities that are out there already doing that and changing the narrative. And it's just grown into something that's now really positive, inclusive. You know, originally it was more about telling a different story, but it's just become so much bigger than that now.
And is it reassuring to be able to see how much attitudes have changed in that time?
Absolutely. I think every year, every news story that comes out, the narrative is completely changing, you know, worldwide. And I think what is incredibly amazing is for such a small island, we do have a Down syndrome community over here. We're in the very start of that community, the younger ages, the families who are just finding out, and there is a thriving community over here. And what we're trying to do is really hit that early stage where we want to ensure that that narrative has been given in such a positive light.
Well, that's Charlie Dimlow speaking to Amy Griffiths there. And of course, if you want to take part, 9:15 at the Kipper Factory in Peel for the main walk, 1:30 at the Sea Terminal for the shorter Tiny Trundle. Now, our flagship Douglas City Council social housing project has been officially opened in Williston by the Mayor, Councillor Stephen Crellin. It's named the James Brown Apartments Complex and is made up of 48 two-bedroom units built to the latest environmental standards and fitted with air source heat pumps. Simon Richardson was there this morning and has this report.
The building's named after James Brown, the founder of the Isle of Man Times newspaper in 1861 and a pivotal political figure who successfully campaigned for the House of Keys to be democratically elected. Modern-day members of the Brown family were in attendance at the opening ceremony, as was the building's first tenant, Paul Cowley.
Absolutely fantastic, I've been a painter and decorator all my life, but unfortunately I've got irreversible lung damage now through doing my job all life, so I'm in a kind of position where I can't work anymore because of my breathing, my health. But where I was living, I had water ingress coming through my living room. The bedroom I had in the flat was mouldy, so I couldn't. So eventually I was unfortunately having to sleep on the sofa in the living room and paying a high kind of rent that the private sector is at the moment.
The Brown family told me the naming of the apartments after their ancestor was a great honour. I spoke to Chris Brown, who travelled over from Ireland, and local family members Judy and Simon.
Christopher, you've come from, you're from obviously from the Isle of Man, but you come over from Ireland especially for the occasion.
That's correct, yes. We flew in yesterday and we're really enjoying being here. I'm very proud of our forefather and this wonderful occasion, and we've been made very welcome.
It is quite an impressive building, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. We're going to have a look inside and we've been impressed by the energy efficiency that we're hearing about, and the opportunity for a lot of people to get a place to live is very, very important. So,
Simon, obviously you live on the island.
I
know you well from in past life.
Yes, we've worked together many times.
The building itself, I mean, you've been around, obviously watched it coming from the start effectively. When did you find out that it was going to be named after the family?
A couple of months ago, really, I think. I drove past it and saw the name up there and we looked into it. So we're all very, very proud and pleased.
And, of course, in the old Weekly Times, we used to go up and down stairs and his portrait was at the top of the stairs.
Yeah. Like most people in the family, a lot of us stayed in the printing trade. I was a printer, father was a journalist. So this has gone down the... down the family line.
Judy, another member of the family, of course, Judy Cross now.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of what you've seen this morning?
I'm very impressed with the building, and it'd be great. I've heard people who've gone to move in speak on Manx Radio, and they're very happy about it, which is great.
Simon Richardson with that report. Sport up next.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Now, this weekend marks the start of the 2026 Andros Racing Association Race Championships in the north of the island. The first competitive action at Jerby Airfield gets underway on Sunday morning, and the ARA Secretary, Neil Champion, says there's already good demand to take part part this season.
Pretty much pent up. It always feels like a long winter. Actually, our season's almost has already started, really. We had a test day 2 weeks ago, which was really well subscribed. I think something like 45, knocking on 50 riders out there just checking their bikes for the winter. Some people have got new bikes. Some people have had their bikes completely in bits and back together again. Some people haven't touched their bikes but wanting to give them a run to make sure they're all right. So, yeah, it was actually a really good day. Lovely weather. This weekend coming is our first full race weekend. Test day on Saturday and then a full programme of races on Sunday.
So you've already mentioned a couple of numbers there. We took part in the test sessions. In terms of those numbers, you know, how good is that in terms of, you know, the sort of demand that you see around this time of year going into the season?
Yeah, the start of the season is always good. People are keen to get back out there. But actually, this is, I think, even better than normal. In fact, the race entry for Sunday is as high as we saw during COVID times, when basically when the island was happy to go around its business, but nobody could go across. We've got over 70 riders with us on Sunday, which we haven't seen that sort of number since the COVID year. And we've got a pretty good entry, I think about 50 or 60 on the Saturday as well. So really good. So we've got 7 different classes, which I could go through, but basically it'll get too detailed, but really mostly solo bikes, i.e. two-wheelers. We've got a sidecar class as well. We don't run them every single meeting because basically there aren't really enough bikes on the island to run all year. But they're going to be out on Saturday and Sunday. I think we've got 5 outfits entered on Sunday, which is pretty good. We've got the Open Championship, which, as the name implies, that's the top one. You can run anything as fast as you like there. Post-classic class, we've got something for twins, the CB500s. And also, for the up-and-coming riders, we've got the Novice and Clubman. This year, we're splitting that in two because it's really well subscribed. So we're having an A and B race for that class as well.
Well, let's stay with sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Rob Pritchard joins me now. Faster My, Rob, what's the latest?
Faster My, well, first tonight, a huge ECAP FA Cup semi-final clash between the current top 2 men's sides in Manx football is among the pick of the ties heading into this weekend's latest Isle of Man football fixtures. Corinthians and Peel, who occupy first and second in the Canada Life Men's Premier League respectively, will meet for a heavyweight clash at Bala Fletcher on Saturday in the first of the last 4 matches of the competition to take place. Also, the semi-finals of the GH Call-Up Woods Cup are also due to take place on Saturday. And among Saturday's league ties, in Ardern and Drugg Unlimited, Division 2, Colby could at least temporarily extend their lead at the top to 10 points should they take maximum points at home to St George's. You can view a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. Elsewhere in football, FC Isle of Man will be hoping to bounce back from consecutive home defeats when they host Cheadle Town in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend. The Manx side would mathematically secure their place in the division for next season if they avoid defeat against their latest opponents. FC Isle of Man versus Cheadle Town takes place at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow night, kicking off at 6 p.m. and Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Meanwhile, in rugby, Douglas face an important trip in Regional 2 Northwest this weekend as they face playoff rivals Widnes on Saturday afternoon, with both teams sitting 5th and 6th in the table respectively. Both Vagabonds teams are also in action tomorrow. Vagabonds men host Conan Nelson in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League, whilst Vagabonds ladies are on the road at Alwinians in Women's NC 2 North South. Also locally, Southern Nomads face Ramsey in the Hartford Homes Manx Cup at Ballykillia Park on Saturday. The Southerners can book their place in this year's final with a win. And in hockey, multiple league titles remain up for grabs on what is set to be the penultimate weekend of the 2026 Isle of Man Men's and Ladies League seasons. Among those still up for grabs is the Ladies Premier League, where Castletown A could make it back-to-back top flight successes if they beat Vikings A and nearest challengers Valkyries A lose out against Castletown B.
Guramai, thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, that is it for Update this week. Thanks very much to newsreader Amy Griffiths. Rob is up next with Friday Sports. Chris Kinley has greatest hits after that. Of course, the Kane Brothers on with Sweet and Swing from 9 o'clock, and then Rhian Evans taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. Have a good weekend. Beth is back with you next week. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.